This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Spy Fat Chicks. And we're coming at you from the CNE. Actually, we're not even in the food building. We're over in the Remember When Pavilion.
Which is in the, as I consult the map, the Direct Energy Center. So the CNE is the Canadian National Exhibit, for those who don't know.
And we're gonna Exhibition.
Exhibition. Canadian National Exhibition, thank you.
It's kind of like a World's Fair.
But only in Canada. And it's, it happens in the late summer every year, just outside of Toronto. They have like a whole ground that's set up for it. Mm-hmm. And it has other things going on throughout the year when they don't have the exhibition going. We decided to do this kind of the same way we did the beer festival up in Muskoka, where we're going to record a little bit as we go so we don't forget about anything. Because I know the day's going to blur together by the mm-hmm. time we sit down and record tomorrow, and we'll forget details.
Mm-hmm. We're sitting and enjoying a cheese tray right now. And who's the cheese tray?
No, well, turn it back down.
The Griffin Gastropub, who are the same people who did the Muskoka Beer Festival, they have a little area set up just outside the Remember When Pavilion. And they're here with the Leslieville Cheese Market and Fine Foods. So they have a whole bar set up where you can either buy tickets and get a full beer or some wine, or you can get samples of beer with like a single ticket. Kind of like when we went to the beer festival.
Yeah.
And they have a cavalcade of beers on tap right now and in bottle that are all craft brews in the area. And if you hear funky music in the background, there's a band that's going to set up soon, so we're pushing to get this done before they do. Ignore the harmonica.
Okay, so we rolled in, we got a cheese tray, and we decided to go with samples. And I got Muskoka Brewery's Mad Tom IPA, which is really, really nice. Let me just take a sip here. Very hoppy, very refreshing, got a lot of bite to it. If you're a hophead, you like IPAs, definitely check this out.
It's a crisp IPA.
It is. It's wow. Mm-hmm. It just rips the sweat right out of your mouth. So the other thing that I got was the Great Weiss North from the Sawdust City Brewing Company. And it's great. This is amazing summer beer. It's got a little bit of that tang that the lambics usually have. Mm-hmm. And it's got that easy drinking wheat beer thing. This is cottage written all over it.
It's a very sweet wheat builder. Wheat beer. It's not dry at all. We've had a couple that been a little bit on the dry side. And this one is totally sugar territory.
Well, within the wheat beer, you can get the fruity wheat beers, you can get the refreshing wheat beers, you can get the drier stuff, and then you can get up to the lambics, because lambics are wheat beers. The difference being that lambics are usually brewed with wild yeast. Not sure what they used for this, but it does have some of that great lambic tang that if you're a fan of Belgian beers, you will love.
Yes, definitely.
So what have you got?
I have. The fellow behind the bar, he asked what we like, and we said everything. And he's like, well, you're in the right place. And he said that he's from the Grand River Brewing Company, who had two beers on tap there, a blackberry wheat and a Gulp Knife Old Style Lager. And he recommended the blackberry wheat. I'm like, who am I to turn down his recommendation? He works there. He must obviously believe in it. But you don't work for a craft brewery unless you believe in their product. And the blackberry wheat is good. It's very pale, much lighter than I thought it was going to be.
I was expecting it to roll out and be purple.
Like, yeah, I thought it was going to have a tinge to it. Like some of the blueberry beers have a little bit of a tinge to it, or at least a darker look like an ale.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of tang to it, kind of like a little bit of a pale ale back note. But part of that's the blackberry, because blackberries are very tangy.
They're
as
pretty
well.
Tart.
So yeah. It's good, not an overpowering fruit taste. It's a beer taste that just happens to have some fruit playing with it.
Yeah, it's not
really dig it.
It's very different than like the fruity beer.
Yeah,
that we've had like the frambois.
Would I buy this at the LCBO? Heck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Would I buy it at the beer store in a case? Probably, if I was in the mood. It's really good. Now my other one is by Bo's All Natural, and it's called the Festive Ale. Haha, Festive Ale. Get it? And this is a bock style, and oh, it's good. It's a little spicy. It has that heavy bock taste to it, but not too heavy.
Yeah. The bock is the reverse of Oktoberfest.
Mm-hmm.
Oktoberfest is brewed in the through the summer to be drank in the autumn, and bocks are brewed through the winter to be drank in the summer.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
That's a
winner.
That's
got some spice in it.
That's good.
If you're a fan of the Old Fezziwig,
it's not over spiced.
No, but if you're a fan of Old Fezziwig, you would probably like it because it has some of those same notes. If we did a Venn diagram of it, there'd be a little bit of an overlap between Old Fezziwig and the Festival. I dig that too, and I would totally pick that up anytime if I could find it. The only problem with some of these craft brews are they're harder to find because they don't produce in enough volume to be able to sell to the LCBO or
which
beer store.
Which is a good thing because it's quality, and it's a bad thing because it's not just a convenience. You can just go out and grab it. you generally have to go to visit them to get it.
Yeah. And just, you know, because you guys can't see pictures of this, we're not going to get a good picture of their symbol for Bose All Natural. It's a little tractor.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome.
That's pretty cute.
That gives them total, like, bonus points. And then we had a little cheese tray. It was $5. It's just a snack. One person would be a hearty snack. Two people split it to nibble. And it had some Jarlsberg, Monterey Jack, or Pepper Jack.
Cheddar.
Tangy, tangy cheddar.
Very nice old cheddar.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was some Italian cheese I can't remember the name of.
It's like French mozzarella, but it's the little balls that you slice.
Yeah, and they should put a sprinkle of salt on it.
And I've had that stuff before.
A couple pieces of crusty bread.
Yeah, and the crusty bread was amazing. And that's all from Leslieville Cheese Market. And they have a little menu out, and they have grilled cheese they're selling right today, like gourmet grilled cheeses, and they look phenomenal.
Stuff with, like, prosciutto and things on it.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
But I've had that fresh mozzarella before, and it never tasted, like, right, and now I get it. You need to put a dash of salt on it, and it tastes great. So, and we've already had a nibble on the way through the door today, too.
Oh, yeah, we did go for the deep-fried Oreos, because we're fat chicks.
And they were okay. I don't know if I'd get them again, because the Oreo kind of dissolved in the middle.
It wasn't the texture that I thought it was going to have, to be honest. I thought it was going to have a little bit more of a crunch, but you bit into it, and it was just, like, the same texture as the breading, because it pretty much dissolved in the middle.
Mm-hmm. It's not at all like a chocolate-covered Oreo, which is that it has that soft outside and then the crunch in the middle from the Oreo, but it was good.
Mm.
It was, you know, carnival food. Totally worth it. And
deep-fried or on a stick.
Mm-hmm. Throughout the day, we're going to stop and record as we taste things or see things of note. We just went through the Ghosts of the CNE exhibit.
You like history?
Cool.
Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Haha. Made it educational.
Yeah. Thought you were going to see ghosty stuff? No. Have some
Not
history.
Really. They have a little bit of spirit photography. They have a little bit of examples of automatic writing. They have some reenacted personal accounts playing on a video. But it's mostly really great photos from the archives and cool artifacts. They actually have a Black Maria, or one of the funeral carriages, as it's also called.
Mm-hmm.
And they scored that from one of the Stouffville petting zoos. I'm not sure why it was hanging around there. Maybe it was an artifact left on the farm by the family. So that was cool to see. And they also had a bunch of memento mori, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like the hair jewelry, and they also had a death mask.
Death masks creep me the heck out. However, the hair jewelry was kind of cool. Because if you're going to do a memento thing, they had these nice, like, brooches.
Woven like a basket weave.
Mm-hmm.
From strands of hair.
It was pretty, though. It wasn't gruesome looking, and it wasn't... I could see somebody from the Civil War doing that when their lover died, you know, off in Shiloh or something.
Right.
So that was kind of cool. Didn't creep me out as much as the death mask, which was very creepy. I just don't dig Victorian principles on death. But yeah, very excited to be at the CNE. I have never been. Sheila has been before.
Last time I went was in high school, so it was well over 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we also stopped at the horse stable and saw the tiny little horses running around with their tiny little feet. And I speculate they wear tiny little horseshoes.
Yes.
So cute.
If you can't guess by now, that it's part like a county fair, mm-hmm. and part like just a giant market and food festival with a carnival attached to it.
This is totally a midway
with
rides and stuff. But then you get people like from landscaping companies that'll have little display set up with ponds and shrubs and interlocking brick just to show you what their company can do kind of thing and pass out information and be seen in by the public. So you have a lot of private companies showing off their wares kind of thing as well.
So it's almost like a convention too.
Yeah.
I mean, we just saw some great sand sculpture, and then we went through an area where they had different plant arrangements that had been judged yesterday, and people won stuff just like a county fair. So
yeah, it's like a horticultural society.
Yeah. And I also have to relate this little experience right now. We're sitting here and talking and sipping our little samples of beer and munching on the little cheese plate. And there is one piece of cheese left on it. And we're both kind of like eyeballing each other like gunfighters. Who's going to go for that last piece of cheese? We're both too polite and love each other too much just to snatch it. But we're just kind of waiting.
At the same time, it's been sitting there for a while.
It has.
But everything else disappeared around it. Oh, Tracy grabbed it.
I just love that. We've been talking for about 5 minutes and that one piece of Pepper Jack's sitting
there.
Our
eyes keep flitting back to it.
Mm-hmm. And then we'd stare off over it.
And then I'd look at you to see if you wanted it.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to wrap it up right now. We're going to go look at some other things. Once we get a little hungry again, we'll stop and get another nibble. There's a whole food building, by the way.
Yeah, we haven't even gotten there yet.
There's a rib fest further on the grounds. And this is the same area, by the way, where they do Screamers in the fall.
Yeah.
But they do the Halloween stuff. And they also have Medieval Times on the ground, like the restaurant Medieval Times.
Yeah.
That's how big this area is.
And to get here, pretty much all you have to do is get on the GO train. I don't even know if there's a parking lot here anymore. I'm not sure if you can actually drive here. Okay.
Because remember, we drove with Spencer to go to Screamers.
That's right.
So you
okay.
can drive
here. So you
yes.
can drive here, but if you're going to take public transit, you get on the GO train, and it's the stop after Union Station heading mm-hmm. west.
Otherwise, you have to take a bus from the subway, and it's just... Right. For the
extra
cost,
there's a bus that comes here, too, if you're local to Toronto, but...
Yeah. Well, for us being outside of Oshawa, it's about $16 for a round-trip ride-all-day thing on the GO train, mm-hmm. as opposed to here and back, it would be almost $10 on subway fees. $6, we don't have to worry about buses. It's
and
all
to be honest,
it.
Parking, I don't want to take the car here. I'll pass.
And I have a secret. Looking around, make sure nobody's listening. I like trains a lot, so...
She does love trains.
I do jump at the chance
and
to go
on the
GO train.
And we are
and that way, if we overindulge, nobody has to worry about driving home.
We had intentions of continuing to record at the end.
And
if we're not really distracted by things, and then... Just decided it was easier to come home, because it got really busy and
come back later.
Strollers are the bane of my existence.
Yes.
If you're going to be at a place where there's more than 1,000 people, you might want to consider leaving the stroller at home if the kid can walk. Just saying.
Or bringing the small stroller. Since all parents have, you know, like 6 strollers now. But really, if you have one child and you have one of those crazy double strollers for twins, it may not be the best place to take it to. That's besides the point. So we had quite the day after we recorded at the little gastropub, the Griffin Gastropub Outpost. It was really like the craft beer garden mm-hmm. and the wine garden is what they called it. But to us, it was the Griffin Gastropub Outpost.
Indeed.
So we wandered over to, I guess, the exhibit area where the vendors were, and they had displays up and things. And we went into the food, I guess, Food Network, Food TV area.
Yeah, we saw Chef Michael Smith on stage. He is every bit as gigantic as you think he is.
Yeah, he's huge. And then
I didn't even need binoculars to see him, and I was, like, across the way.
Yeah, we were behind, like, rows and rows of people, and we decided it's a little too far for us to stand and actually try to pay attention, so we moved on. But the milk, was it the Milk Board of Canada? Is that who
yes.
they were?
The Canadian Dairy Farmers Association.
I'll find their exact name. We Dairy Farmers of Canada, that's what they're called. We have a lot
Dairy
of propaganda.
Farmers of Ontario.
Of Ontario.
There was, like, cheese propaganda. It was awesome.
We have both, the Dairy Farmers of Canada and the Dairy Farmers of Ontario. So, yeah, we have a ton of cheese propaganda and milk propaganda. But they were doing a cheese tasting. It was, like, a little seminar. They gave you 6 cheeses to try, and they had a woman explaining to you how you should taste them, what the types of cheeses were, what the differences are. If you hear sneezing or grunting, it's just the dog. But it was really interesting. I'm looking at you because I think you should interject something because you looked like you were going to.
I was trying to tell you to talk over here because you keep talking over there and they probably can't hear it.
Oh, so I'll talk over here now. It was really interesting. It was free, which is always
free is the best price
awesome.
Ever.
It is the best price. It took about, what, 20 minutes to half an hour?
About that, yeah. And we got to taste six Canadian cheeses.
Yeah, that was
made
the
with
theme.
Canadian milk.
And why is Canadian milk special, Sheila?
Because it is never, nor will it ever be, subjected to growth hormones or any of that nasty stuff.
Exactly. There's no hormones, there's no scary things that we need to worry about. And apparently there's a little blue cow symbol that is on all cheeses that are 100% Canadian milk. So if that's important to you and you live in Canada, then you want to look for the cute little cow with the blue maple leaf emblazoned on the side. I don't know if that's a brand or a tattoo or what on the poor little cow. But
well, it's a giant blue milk drop behind it, I think.
True. With the white cow.
With a white cow.
So, you know, if it was a chocolate cow, it would be chocolate cheese, and that would be horrible. But anyway.
So what were the ones that we tried? Because you actually wrote them down.
Well, yeah, they gave us a little cheese journal, and it's a little pamphlet, well, it's more like a booklet that explains all kinds of basic stuff about cheese. A lot of things that Sheila and I already knew, but it got into the nitty-gritty on some of the different types. It gave some good suggestions for pairings if you're going to throw a cheese party, like these cheeses go well with beer.
These cheeses go good with these wines.
Yeah, these go well with stouts and lagers. They gave you both beer and wine pairings, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, because I'd love to do a beer and cheese party.
Yeah, but I think it's a sign too that we're in Canada.
Yeah.
It's like, well, here's your wine pairings, but we really know you're going to have beer with it, so we're going to put those down too.
Mm-hmm.
But at the back, they had about 6 or 7 pages blank with entries for cheeses that you can keep a cheese journal, which I thought was kind of neat. So she suggested starting it today with the 6 cheeses that we had. And we had the Omega-3 Mozzarella by Solani.
And the reason why it's Omega-3 is because they give the cows either fish meal or flax meal. And so the cows pass that on into the milk. It's not actually added afterwards.
It's added before.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things the woman suggested, and I don't remember her name, it was Ann Murray something hyphenated with another last name. And I only remember because her name was Anne Murray. And then there was a hyphenation after. I'm like, oh.
I don't remember her name at all, so you're one step ahead of me.
But she was very knowledgeable. She did a good job. Mm. But one of the things she suggested is when you taste cheese, You really shouldn't just gobble it down like we do. You
nom.
Should hold it in your mouth and kind of let it dissolve a little bit. Yeah, warm up the body temperature and feel the texture as well as the taste. That's how you get the true taste of it. But for mozzarella, she said, when you should peel it apart, you're going to see the texture and how it pulls apart, kind of like a cooked chicken breast.
Yeah.
Which I never thought of, but she's right. Mozzarella does pull apart like a cooked chicken breast.
Yeah, and it's because of the texture from it being kneaded.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a pulled cheese, so...
It was good. I liked
it. I liked it.
It had a lot of flavor for mozzarella. I thought it was delicious. Then we had a Gouda by Ivanhoe, and it was a young Gouda.
Yay! Ivanhoe is where my grandmother grew up, so we have a special place in our hearts for Ivanhoe and Ivanhoe cheeses.
Yes, and it's a classic Canadian cheese company, too.
It's the oldest in Canada.
Was that the one we drove by on the way to Kingston?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, there were signs to go.
There were signs to go, and we were going to stop and see if there's a visitor center, but we were too wound up on the way up and too pressed for time on the way back.
Yeah.
So someday, we'll go check it out.
See, my family is actually from a place near Ivanhoe called Reed's Corners, because my grandmother's maiden name is Reed. So there was a lot of them there.
So there's cheese in your blood?
Yes.
Ooh. But what'd you think of the Gouda?
It was great.
It was Gouda.
I liked it.
It was a good Gouda.
It was a good Gouda.
And a Gouda, it's a creamy cheese. It's not a really sharp tasting cheese.
Kind of like Swiss. It's got like that mellowness to it.
Yeah. And it was, again, delicious. The next one was the one that we both said, oh my God, we could do things with it. And it was a how do you say it, Boursin?
Boursin.
Boursin's like almost like a cream cheese. It's like a whipped cheese.
Yeah.
It's smooth and creamy. This was a chalet and chive. Chalet. I wrote chalet. Chalet and chive. So we're eating this and she's talking about, you know, this is a different cheese that comes with different seasonings in it. They had a cranberry one earlier in the morning that would be great with breakfast. And meanwhile, Sheila's eating this and thinking potatoes. And what was your suggestion?
Well, it tasted almost like, you know, the seasonings that you get in French onion dip. And I was thinking, what kind of potato dish could I make with this that would feature this cheese? And I thought throwing a great big blob of it into mashed potatoes would be the bomb.
Well, you don't have to add milk then.
Yeah.
Because you add the cheese, it's going to bring the flavor and it's going to bring the fat content to help mellow out your potatoes and make them nice and whipped.
Yeah.
It's a perfect mix for it.
Yeah.
So we're going to try that experiment sometime and let you know how it went, because that sounds really rocking.
That'd be great with a steak or something.
Yeah.
Or a barbecued pork loin.
And I felt so decadent sitting there eating this blob of, like, creamy cheese that I would normally spread on something, just eating it whole, like, oh, this is awesome. And they weren't stingy with the samples.
No,
I mean, they
weren't.
Gave you a pretty hearty chunk when they came by and were heaping it on your plate. So after that, we had a creamy Havarti by a Delfino, which it tasted like a Havarti. I mean,
yeah.
It was good. It wasn't really strong.
Yeah.
And a Havarti is a really kind of inoffensive cheese that you can put on something, and it sounds exotic, but it's not. It's one of our go-to cheeses for the really big sandwich.
That's true.
So,
it's kind of like a Swiss.
Yeah. It's like a mellow Swiss. After that, we had the... Okay, you're going to have to help me saying that one.
Okay.
B-O-U-C-H-E-E.
Oh.
Yes?
Bouchers?
The Bouchers.
Bouchers Mexican flavor.
Yes.
Is what it's called. And that had... It was really good. It had this, like, spice on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was served... I'm thinking it was like a long rope cheese, and they sliced it medallions out of it,
mm-hmm.
and then put it into a tray, and then put the seasoning on it. It was really, really good. I liked it.
Apparently, when you buy these, they come on a tray, and they're just the little, she put them pucks. Haha, we're in Canada. The first thing they're going to think of when they see that is pucks. But you put these little discs, they put the little discs on the tray, and that's how it comes. And it's meant to be just eaten, not like a cooking cheese or anything.
Yeah, it's meant to be eaten as an appetizer or eaten raw.
And it was good. Again, it was one of those creamy cheeses that it reminded me of, like a goat cheese. Wasn't that the one she said some people were fooled into thinking it's a goat cheese, but it's not?
Maybe. What was the next one?
The cheddar.
Yeah, that was the one. Yeah,
the Boucher, yeah.
The Boucher's was the one that was very tangy and creamy, and it's cow's milk cheese, but it tastes a lot like goat cheese.
And this was so awesome. She had a good sense of humor. She said, you know, a lot of people ask me, is this a goat cheese? She said, and then I point to the giant symbol of the cow up here. No, it's all cow's milk. Because she says repeatedly, these are all, you know, Ontario cow milk cheeses in the beginning.
Is this a goat's milk?
No. Look for the cow symbol.
Cows.
No goat here. But it was good. I would destroy a tray of that. I'd love to pick it up. I've never even seen it before.
Neither have I. I'm sure that if we went to a bigger supermarket,
mm-hmm.
they'd probably have it.
We'd have to hit like a Sobeys or a Metro.
Yeah.
So And then after that, we had an extra old cheddar by Cow's Creamery.
And she said that you should never discriminate a cheddar based on age or color.
Just like people.
Yes. Because some of the younger ones are as robust as you would like them to be. They're not all really mild. They mm-hmm. have that tang, the sharpness. Because after you age it for a certain time, it goes past its prime and it gets bitter.
She said about 2 years is yeah. when it starts to turn bitter. It goes from having that nice sharp tang to a kind of like a puckery taste to it, which isn't yeah. what you want. And I also didn't know this about why we dye cheese. And it's dyed with an all-natural dye that's flavorless, odorless. You have no idea it's in there. But it was yeah. to make the cheeses consistent because in the summer, the cows were eating more...
like dandelions, marigolds, and grass, and stuff with a lot of beta-carotene in it, which gave it that orange tinge.
Because of the milk.
Yeah, and then in the wintertime, they were eating hay mm-hmm. in the barn, and they were getting white milk.
So they started adding the dye to the winter milk for the cheese, so they had a consistent color year-round. That's where we come around from orange cheese.
Yeah, it comes from some sort of berry, she said, mm-hmm. that they get the dye from.
Like a nut or a seed, something like that. Yeah. It's all natural. It's nothing that's going to throw the cheese.
It's not going to hurt you or anything.
But I never knew that. I just knew we dyed it, and I thought, oh, that's weird. Maybe so they could tell the cheddar apart from everything else. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
Now, this particular one that we had was so smooth and so just... It was sharp but mild.
Yeah.
It was like a chilled out Jarlsberg almost, but it was a cheddar.
Yeah.
It was good.
Definitely.
I want to look for it because it was really good.
And she also said that there's this, like, almost a bloom that gets on cheddar that when it ages past a certain point, is this white powder. And people were thinking that it was mold. So that's why the stuff that's older, mm-hmm. that's going to be aged older, doesn't get the orange dye. Because that way you don't see it on it.
Yeah.
And it's not, I don't know, off-putting to people.
And she also said that the Cow's Creamery is from PEI.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one where she said they do this one cheese that you can almost taste the potatoes in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. And I was also going back, revisiting the Gouda from the beginning. She was also saying about how Goudas, if they age very, very long, they start to almost crystallize and they become super sweet, where the natural sugars in the cheese start to come out at that point.
Yeah, because the milk sugars are pretty concentrated in that particular style.
Yeah, I would love to find a Gouda like that. Mm-hmm. So I think the overall theme for us personally for the X was cheese, because we have even more after that.
Yeah.
But we'll get to it. So that was so cool. They had some actual like swag for you when you walk in. Well, when you were in line to go to the cheese tasting. And they took about, what, 40 people for
yeah,
it? And they
that.
Did it a couple times throughout the day. And we got like a cheese cutter. Oh, not a cheese cutter. I'm sorry. We got a cookie cutter in the shape of a heart.
It's for cheese, though.
For cheese. And we got a little milk magnet. And then on the way out, they gave us these lovely little plastic picks. They're cheese picks. And we have a cheese tasting.
You can write them in. Yeah, and stick it in the cheese.
So we each have a set of those now, of 5, so we can do like some Mondo 10 cheese tasting between the two of us.
That'd be awesome.
And I'm actually kind of stoked, because, you know...
Any excuse to get together with friends and eat good food is a great day for me.
And
so.
They're kind of flimsy and plastic, but I don't care. We'll just use the snot out of them anyway. They were great. So overall, very impressed with what the Dairy Farmers of Canada put together for their little cheese display at the X. I'm sure none of them will ever hear this, but if anybody who knows any of people who might know them, let them know that we thought they were thoroughly just awesome. We also signed up to start getting propaganda in the mail. It's actually a cheese magazine put out by them, so we'll be getting all these crazy
I feel
cheese
like
recipes.
Wallace from Wallace and Gromit.
Yes.
Cheese! Oh, my cheese magazine is in!
Between going to like the gastropub outpost and having the cheese plate, and then going right from there to the cheese tasting, which was a totally random find. I'd walked up to put an entry in for a contest to win, like, a cheese kit. And the guy's like, hey, do you want to do a cheese tasting? We're going to have a seminar right there. You can get in line. And there were,
and
like,
of course
10
I'm
people
saying,
in line.
How much does it cost?
Yeah.
It's free. And then after that, we went back to the Griffin Gastro Pub.
We should save that, though. We should go through the other stuff.
What other stuff?
We went to the food building.
Oh, I guess we could talk about that.
Save that for the epic conclusion.
Okay.
The grand finale, if you will, because that was the true find of the day, I think.
True that.
And was not the epic burger, either.
No.
So, after that, we wandered around a little more, some cool stuff, and then went back to the food building. The giant, oh my god, overwhelming, flashy light food court.
With way too many people, and not enough seating.
Oh, huge! It was like a mall food court on steroids.
It was like a mall food court if it took over the rest of the mall.
Oh, that would be so beautiful. When I die, I hope I go to an afterlife that has a little section that looks like that. That's all I can really say. I just want it to look like the food building.
Anything that you could possibly think of was there.
Yes.
There was Indian, there was Chinese, there was burgers, there was fries,
pierogies,
German food,
poutine.
Oh my god.
Everything was there.
Fish and chips.
Montreal smoked meat booth. You name it, you could probably find it there within reason. We needed was some Permani Brothers, and I would have been a happy person.
There was a lot of hype, though, about the Epic Burger, which was a cheeseburger with a fried egg on it with a Krispy Kreme donut as the bun. Tracy was like, oh yeah, woo, I can't wait to try that. We'll split it. It's 12,000 calories. And she's like, wait, what? There's a Krispy Kreme donut as the bun? I don't want to eat that.
1,500 calories, by the way. But yeah, that's disgusting. I couldn't do it. I backed out. I will admit, I wussed out and said, that is just too... Krispy Kreme donuts are really sweet. And all I could think of was the hot burger melting all the glaze on it and making a huge mess and just not being good.
The person next to me, sitting next to me, ate one and it made a huge mess.
Yeah.
The bottom Krispy Kreme donut was totally shriveled. It was like as big as a piece of tissue paper by the time he actually got a chance to eat it.
I don't know. You just need something more robust than a Krispy Kreme because those things are all air. They puff up. They rise. They puff up. They're delicious. But if you get a hot one, you can just cram it, like, two in your mouth and not choke.
Yeah.
You could do the fluffy bunny thing with those instead of marshmallows. Bunny. Chubby bunny, yeah. You could do it with those instead of marshmallows. So, but the Epic Burger stand, we found out after we'd already eaten, also had chicken and waffles.
Which I totally would have went to go get.
And they had a bunch of other burgers, too. And their food did look good. And the prices were pretty reasonable. I mean, the Epic Burger was, what, $8? Which isn't bad.
Actually, no, it was only $7, I think.
Seven or eight. It's carnival prices, you know, event pricing, really not bad. In fact, almost everything within the food building, with a few exceptions, were very much reasonably priced when you compare it to all the other places you go out to eat in Canada of, like, a food court level. So, yeah, the only thing that was really outrageous, I thought, were the sodas. $3 a bottle is ridiculous.
Yeah. Like, one of the kids at the table that we were sitting at, who's this teenage boy... who's obviously trying to, like, look good for the ladies, so he got a salad. And he got this giant Greek salad. It was probably, like, 3 inches high and maybe 6 inches in diameter, heaped up. And it had a lot of toppings and stuff on it. But between that and his water, he paid $10 for it.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, that's excessive, because it's only lettuce.
Yeah, and the salad was only $7, because the water was probably $3.
Yeah.
So the water was the same price as the soda. So the biggest tip we can give if you go to the Canadian Exposition is take water with you. They have these awesome little fountains placed throughout the whole thing for drinking, but it's not like a water fountain.
There is water fountains, but they have these, the things you're talking about is to fill your water bottle.
Yeah, and they're set up all over the place. So you can take either just a reusable bottle with you or grab a El Cheapo President's Choice bottle of water. Drink it when you get there and just refill it all day.
Yeah.
Totally worth it. Don't have to pay the exorbitant fees for drinks there.
Mm-hmm.
So, we ended up getting a schnitzel from Schwarzwald.
But it was, like, spelled Schwarzwald.
Yeah, it was spelled a little weird.
It was, like, English German.
Oh, but they had really good schnitzel.
They
did. For being at the food building at the X. Well, it was huge, first of all.
Yeah. It was big. It was, like... probably, what, 5 inches around in diameter?
It was on the scale of fullness. Just looking at that alone, not because we didn't get any sides with it, and it didn't come with any sides, but just looking at that alone, as a sandwich, that's like a 4 on the Aaron scale.
Yeah.
We were full. Aaron would have been like, I'm going to get another order of something on the side, but for an average person, it's almost too much food.
And the bun was about as big as, like, a Whopper bun. Yeah. So.
And you can get sauerkraut, applesauce, peppers or onions on it, or you can get all of it if you want. We just got the applesauce.
We just got the applesauce.
It was good. I haven't had schnitzel in years.
It was nice and tender. I liked it. And then Tracy went to the Bouchard's Poutinerie, which I'm sure is a, like, mall food court chain, because I think I've seen it before in other malls that we've been to.
Mm-hmm.
But it was pretty decent, because you paid...
That was one of the places I thought was a little out of whack pricing-wise. It was like $8... And I got a poutine with bacon on it. 3 strips of bacon. It had real cheese curd, though.
Yeah.
Which was nice.
They were, like, chip truck fries with really good gravy. The gravy wasn't too salty. It was really nice. Nicely balanced gravy, and then...
The portion was reasonable for two people for a good snack.
Yeah. I mean, it was, like, carnival pricing.
Yeah.
You know.
That's something that at a regular mall, if I had paid more than $6 for it, I would have been a little upset.
Yeah, but at a regular mall, I don't think it would have been that much.
No. But it was good. It's definitely one of the better poutines I've ever had. It's definitely up on the list. Mm. So, overall, very happy with that. And we really didn't stop and get any other foods until later on in the day. We went by a meat booth in the actual exhibition area that they had kangaroo pepperettes, bison pepperettes, venison pepperettes, and beef pepperettes. And we decided they weren't the dry ones. They were a little wet. We weren't going to try them.
I like them dry and wrinkly.
Yeah.
Not bloaty and juicy.
Yeah, and these look kind of bloaty and juicy.
And then
the find of the day. Oh, my God.
I was all hot and tired of dodging people. So I was like, I want another beer. Let's go back. Because the beer that we had, I know we mentioned this in the other part, but the Great Weiss North was made only for the CNE, and
we didn't find that out until we left. Remember, we were on our way out, and they're like, "Oh yeah, this is the only time you're ever going to see it."
Yeah, because it was made only for the exhibition, and it was made with an ingredient from each province.
Mm-hmm.
So it's made from Canada, kind of thing. I said to myself, "I really want to have one more pint of that because you're never going to have it again," kind of thing. So let's go back to the Griffin Gastropub Outpost and check it out and see what's going on. You wanted to try a couple more things.
Yes. And they had at the, it was Leslie's...
Leslie's Cheese.
Cheese and Gourmet something. Foods. They were the people selling the cheese and the meat platters there. They had these panini grilled sandwiches that were grilled cheeses, and they just, the displays looked amazing. The bread looked really good.
Yeah.
The bread was the same quality that the little pieces of bread on the cheese plate came with. So we wanted to check that out.
Did you say they were using the George Foreman grill as a panini press?
They did. And I'm like, you know what? That's not a bad
idea.
That's
all it is, really.
Yeah. I totally want to try using it to make a grilled cheese now, because theirs came out so well. You have to use good bread, though. You can't use, like, Wonder Bread or refrigerator, you know, mass market bread. You have to get something fresh. So we picked up a few more tickets to get some beer. We both actually got a full serving of the Great Weiss. And then I got one of the classic grilled cheese sandwiches. We wanted to get the prosciutto and brie, and they were out of it already.
Yeah.
And then I also got one of the little meat plates on the side. So the grilled cheese is $7, and the little meat plate's about $5. Again, carnival pricing. But the grilled cheese, quite honestly, is totally worth $7.
Yeah.
Oh, she cut it in half. And it was a big sandwich anyway. She cut it in half, and it was still a good-sized, like, portion.
I was full after eating it. In fact, I'm still just kind of full now, to be honest.
Yes. So we finally find seats, sit down, start eating it, and this is the best grilled cheese I've ever had in my life. It had, like, Gouda and Havarti and Jarlsberg on it, all mixed together on this amazing bread. It was just this hot, creamy mess, and it was perfect.
Yeah.
And matched with the Great Weiss.
It did. The Great Weiss just cut right through that. So now we know, if you're going to do a cheese dish, go with a wheat beer.
Yeah. Or at least a slightly sweeter wheat beer. That was so good. And then the meat plate. I know you weren't really jazzed on it when I got it.
That's only just because I was so full. Yeah. It wasn't that there was anything wrong with it. I was just like, man, I'm getting full.
But the salami they had on it was like what I grew up with. Because I grew up in an area where we had a lot of good Italian meats. We had some amazing, like, Eastern European salamis and everything. And this was just
And the pepperoni
killer.
Was like Boar's Head pepperoni.
Yeah.
It was like the big sandwich pepperonis that they have.
Yeah. So, honestly, I think of the X for us, the epic find was the craft beer garden.
Yeah.
Between Leslie's and having all of those craft beers. They had like a dozen craft beers there.
Mm.
That was awesome. The only thing is they needed the area to be bigger. Because by the time we got there in the evening, it was full.
Yeah. It was crazy busy, and I didn't want them to pack it full of seats, but they could have put probably half a dozen more tables and chairs in there.
Yeah.
And that would have been perfect, because as it was, people were kind of like milling about waiting for things to open. And then other people wanted to just, when they were finished eating and drinking, wanted to just chill and listen to the band, which is fine, but
at the same time, people were waiting for seats.
Yeah.
They created this great atmosphere where you wanted to sit and chill and enjoy yourself, but there just wasn't enough space to do that. And, I mean, they had a Ecuadorian band. Was it Ecuadorian?
Yeah, they were from Ecuador.
They were an Ecuadorian band doing music that, like, music and everything. It was great.
There was like six
stuff.
Guys up there. They had pan pipes, they had fiddles, they had this crazy little lute, they had an electric bass. What percussion were they using?
I don't even know. I mean, they had so much going on. But it was great music.
It was amazing.
It was really good. I didn't get their name when we were there, though. They didn't have anything up that said, hey, we're this, either, which they probably should have had, like, a sign or something.
I think one of their moms was walking around selling CDs.
Yeah, that was the older lady you were talking to.
At our table.
Yeah. But it was, you know, they created this awesome little stop in the middle of the exhibition.
It was an oasis.
It was an oasis.
An oasis of sanity.
And between that and having gone to the Muskoka Beer Festival a few years ago, I am still thoroughly impressed with the Griffin Gastropub. We need to make a trip up there at some point this year and actually eat at their restaurant and make sure they're as awesome as the front they present. Because between the staff that they had there, everybody was super awesome. The ladies doing the tickets, the people at the bar, the woman from Leslie's, which I know isn't part of the Griffin Gastropub, but still, the woman from Leslie's, I chatted with her for a while you were getting beer.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody was so awesome and friendly. Even after, you know, most of the way through the day when they're tired, they were great.
Because it was the same dude the entire shift we talked to. So.
Yeah. So they were the find. They were the epicness in the X. Pass up the epic burger. If you're of drinking age, go straight to the craft brewery. If you're not, go to the craft brew garden anyway. Get an awesome grilled cheese. That is going to be so much tastier than a burger on
Krispy Kremes.
Yeah, Krispy. Why not Tim Hortons? Why not Tim Horton Donuts, man? We're in Canada. Krispy Kreme, really? Mm. Oh well.
Apparently, there is a Krispy Kreme in Mississauga.
Yes,
that's
still,
what I've heard.
It's not still.
Still.
So, is there anything else you want to add? Any tips you wanted to throw in? Anything that you were really impressed with today?
I had a great time.
Yeah.
I don't know, because we didn't go last year, but I hope next year that the Griffin Gastropub's there again.
Yes, and I hope they have a bigger area, maybe even like multiple outposts throughout the entire X, because they were awesome. Actually, I do want to throw out my sincerest apologies, because we stopped by a hot sauce booth, and I had full intentions of going back and buying a bottle of their hot sauce, and we just forgot.
Yeah.
And we'll put up a picture of their stuff later. They were, let me look up their name really fast, because I did take a picture of their booth. See if we can find them online later. I feel kind of bad. I'm like, we'll be by later. And then,
she
like, the typical tour.
Yeah,
I hear that all day. I'm like, no, really, your hot sauce is awesome, and I want to buy some of it. And I kind of feel bad because I hate being that person.
You were that person.
I was that person. I'm a jerk, man. The Hot Mamas.
Yeah.
The Hot Mamas. They had some awesome hot sauces.
Maybe we can order something online from them. It'll make you feel better.
It will make me feel better. So, this is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are Zwei Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed the Zwei Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on Facebook and or follow us on Twitter. You can email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends. Please make sure that credit is given. Thanks for listening and have a great day.